on the diet God gave us. That's Genesis 1:29. And I went back and looked and said, oh, that's the plant-based diet. So I did very faithfully. I did exactly what he told me. So he helped them to be... Anyway, he says, raise them up to be good citizens, make sure they all do well in their school and take care of their own financial problem because we're not going to support them. Of course, after my fifth child, we were in Singapore with my fifth child, went back to the States. We had to send them back to the States because my husband is American-born Chinese. My parents, his parents are all there. So when my fifth son left for college, so did I. I just packed my bags and I told my husband, you promised me I could go back to school when there were no children, so I'm going to go. And I went back and I got my master's in nutrition, became a registered dietitian and nutritionist. And previous to that, I actually became a lab technician. I gave that up. Anyway, all I can say today to you is that we love the health message. It was given to us 160 years ago. And I still have people that tell me this. When we were in Singapore for 17 years, there was no wellness center. So I changed my living room into a New Start Lodge. So they were, I think you know, they were always at my house every Sabbath. And these are mostly non-Adventists. Can't reach them any other way. When I first got there, I tried to ask, get Bible studies, can't do it. They think we're cults. And then my relatives told me, if you want to reach these people, you need to do it Christ's method. He mingled with them, he attended to their needs, he gained their confidence, and he says, follow me. And so we started doing this wellness program, and that was when he came. And we were having Bible studies, he used to come and join us. All I can tell you is that the Lord is coming soon, sooner than you many people realize. And in the last days, all line of ministry will be closed except medical missionary work. My husband is the eye surgeon, but when we became reconverted, actually through Maurice Vanden's tape, Time Alone with God, you know, so we started reading about the life of Christ, and both of us were brought to the foot of the cross. I remember just weeping. I say, here I raised my five children on a vegetarian diet, and we were both not vegetarian. I mean, we were still eating Kentucky Fried Chicken, McDonald's. Really, nobody believed it. I would cook and tell the children, don't eat this, it's bad for you. And they would see us eating it. So after about 10 years, I was thinking to myself the other day, God must have put a wool over their eyes. After 10 years, I became so desperate. I got up 3 and 4 in the morning to reach to ask God to tell me why I can have victory over my life, my eating habits. Because I read, it says, you can't overcome on your eating habits, you can't overcome on anything else. And I said, Lord, please save me. And then that was when we started reading about the life of Christ, steps, Desire of Ages. And I remember the chapter on Gethsemane was when I experienced righteousness by faith. Jesus became so precious to me. And you know, when you come to know and love God, like my husband always tells me, you're worth the life of the Son of God. Jesus died to give you the freedom of choice. And I can't explain you to the experience, but I love God so much. Now, I want to tell the world about it. Everyone I met in Singapore, you know, I was telling the taxi driver and the bus driver, telling everybody. And that was when we changed our home into a New Start Lodge. And you know that when we left, there were about 50, five people who were baptized from that little home setting. Listen, let me tell you, it wasn't us. It was the work of the Holy Spirit. You can't convict anyone unless the Holy Spirit does the work. And if you tell God, you know, God, you know, I want to save these people. Would you do the work for us? And God is more than willing. He's so anxious to do it. He's just so anxious to do it. So we were 27 years in the mission field, 3 years in Wildwood, and 17 years in Weimar. Last year, my husband, let him tell you, but he quit Weimar. He says, I have a great need to go to churches. So many of our churches, you know, they don't realize the importance of the health message. I remember we went to New York. There was a Hispanic church, about 70 people there. And after the church meeting was over, the pastor got up and he told the church, he says, I'm now going to get on the plant-based diet. And then 3 months later, his wife wrote us a letter and said, everyone in the church became vegetarian. So that was so precious. I mean, you can give the praise and the thank to God because we are just instrument in God's hand. My son, my third son, oh, by the way, I have five children, and they all grew up on this diet. They never complained. When I started eating the vegan diet with them, they were very happy. But anyway, all of them are still vegetarian. What I want to tell you is that Sister White says, before Jesus come, little health center will be established in many places. You can't expect everybody to afford to come to Weimar. Even though I have to tell you, if you decide to come, please let us know first because we want to be your first contact. If anyone who's interested in coming, I have many non-Adventist people who became all the New Start people that eat in my house in Singapore became on the plant-based diet. And we continue to study with them every Sabbath for like 5, 6, 7 years until they were ready to go out and minister to other people. I don't know if you remember, there's a girl by the name of Judy. She and her husband, they were bankers, very rich. She came to New Start because we lower her husband's cholesterol and blood pressure down. And one day she called me. I was in Singapore working. She says, would you come to my house? My son, 4-year-old, has asthma. She was crying. They needed to take the son to emergency room. I said, please don't do it. Let me come. I hopped into a taxi, went to her house. The nurse, the maid, the husband, everyone was there. So I said, Judy, don't take your son to the emergency room. Let me show you a very simple method. Because I had taken hydrotherapy in several places. So I said, let me deal with him. And to cut the long story short, I did a hot foot bath on this little boy. And you know that he didn't have to go to the emergency room. And his mother was so excited. She came and told me, she says, she's a Presbyterian. She said, your church has something my church don't have. Would you give me Bible study? Within a year, the family became Seventh-day Adventists. When we left Singapore to come back to the States, they migrated to Australia. Their company sent them. A few years ago, we were in Australia. They had us come. This lady with another man, John, had raised 3 churches. They did it in the university. 3 churches. You see, that God works by multiplication. You work by addition. It was so thrilled. And the 2 boys, Daryl, he's about 24. He just graduated from medicine. His sister, Bernice, just finished dentistry. And Judy called us and said, I'm starting another church now, she emailed me. And, you know, it just makes me so happy to see that. Because when we went over to Australia just a couple, 6 months ago, we did, she wanted us to help all these young new believers, the children, to go through child guidance and counsels on diet and food, how to raise their children and so on. So that was how we were there. We were in Warburton too. Anyway, all I can tell you is that it's our pleasure to be here. I wasn't asked to speak, but I think the pastor asked me if I'd say a few words. So I'll let my husband take over now because he has a lot of things he wants to share with you. And by the way, we were in the Marshall Islands. You know where the Marshall Islands was? My son, we went with canvas bag. There were 20 of us, and during that 10 days, they did 140-some surgeries and 120 cataracts for the people. And these people were just so thrilled and happy. So that's what we're going to be doing a lot of now that we've quit WIMA. But if you have anything, any question, please feel free to call us. And our program is really very good. A lot of elderly people now come to the program. They say, we're not going to take a cruise this year. We're going to go to WIMA because the doctors will help you get on the right path. And my job is usually just meal planning and things like that. Anyway, yay.
It was a privilege being spending a whole summer, 1988, with Dr. Ng and his wife May, and I really saw how they loved everybody that they worked with, and so it's a privilege to have you here, here in our home church this weekend, and.
Do you know why I come to your church? Because you have the three angels message, you have the health program, and you teach people victory in Christ.
Thank you, May. Now, Dr. Ng, when I first met Dr. Ng, he was a practicing ophthalmologist, but had a real passion for lifestyle medicine and preventive medicine. So he ended up at Loma Linda University after many years of medical mission work and was studying to become board certified in preventive medicine, which he now is, has been for some time, very active with the American College of Preventive Medicine over the years. And as you know, he's been president and medical director of Weimar Institute, which is one of the best-known lifestyle medicine institutions that does residential care. And now they have, after retirement, they have decided to devote their lives to just going wherever they're welcome to talk about wellness and natural strategies to optimize health and to promote healing from chronic disease. So Dr. Ng, the time is yours. Thank you for being here.
No, I'm not the president of Weimar. I'm the president of the New Start Medical Clinic. Okay, and I was the medical director there. Well, you're really privileged because you have Wes here, and he is a wonderful resource person for your church. And it's a real privilege to be here and see him again. But I remember, you know, doing what he's doing. And it's always nice to have someone come from out of town because even though I may say some of the same things that he says, you don't pay attention to him after a while. You know? I'm sorry, but that's true. When someone from out of town, when someone comes in from out of town and says the same things, oh, yeah, you know. But we all teach the same thing. And, you know, our primary goal is not to get you to become vegetarians. That's not my primary goal at all. I mean, that's only a byproduct of what we do. So before we go any further, I need to tell you one thing. My wife has already mentioned that. Is any good things that have come from the work that we have done, any good things that may come from being here, all the honor and the glory and the praise goes to God. Without him, we couldn't do it. And I want to acknowledge that. And direct your attention to him. So with that in mind, I invite you to bow your heads with me for prayer. Heavenly Father, it's been a beautiful time together here with some very, very special friends of yours and some special friends of mine and acquaintances. Good to see Dale again. It's good to see Wes again. Thank you for their lives and their examples. And Lord, as we reflect and think about some things about life and health and eternity, we ask for your wisdom and insight through the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit, that your Spirit may be here, that what each one hears today will be what you want them to hear and the message that is meant for them, not what I want to say, but what you want them to hear. We're thankful, Lord, that we can call upon you for this and that we can thank you for answering our request. Thank you for loving us unconditionally. Thank you for the privilege of being your children. And may we be your faithful children and friends for eternity is our hope and prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. That's how to get hold of us. That's my home telephone number. And if you really need to get hold of me, if you will listen to the end of the message, you will end up with my cell phone number. Those of you who had the ultrasounds done, on the report form, you have my wife's cell phone telephone number. So we're here to help you. And you can call us any time of the day or night. If we're not there, as we're not there now, you can leave a voicemail message. But if you want to get hold of me, you can try email, because I don't plan to be in the U.S. all the time. I mean, I think in March, I'm going to India. So, and I hope to get back to Singapore and China a few more times. So that's how to get hold of us, and thank you again for the privilege of being here. Are you tired? Do you want energy? Most people I find, they want more energy. They're tired. That's one of the things. And the other thing I also find out is that people are looking for happiness and joy. People are tired. They want more energy. They want happiness and joy. Well, I don't like to beat around the bush. I don't have as much time as I would like to. We're giving you highlights of things that would normally cover anywhere from 15 to 20 hours. But if you want happiness and joy, think about this. You'll never have, I seldom say never, but this is one time where I will say, you'll never have true happiness and joy. I don't know if that's a good way to start, but let me finish. You'll never have true happiness and joy until you have a relationship and worship someone who is worthy of worship. And I submit to you, that's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You may look for it in all kinds of things, money, power, homes, music, education, but you'll never have true happiness and joy until you have a continuing, growing relationship with our Lord. And if you want true happiness and joy, I encourage you to look for that. And the other thing is, it also goes along with what we're talking about. I want you to have better health. I want you to have the best health. And the reason why I want you to have good health is God communicates to us through our mind, through our brain. The healthier you are, the clearer your mind will be. Okay. Now, you say, I want to be healthy so I can save money. There's nothing wrong with that. I want to be healthy so I don't have to spend so much time in the doctor's office. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think that one of the best reasons to be healthy is so that you can have a closer walk in relationship with the Lord. If you're healthy, he can speak to you in the still, small voice. If you're not healthy, he may have to tap you on the shoulder or maybe hit you over the head with an accident or an illness or something to get your attention. I remember talking to a missionary when I was in Puerto Rico, and he said, I don't understand why this has happened to me. And, here he was flat on his bed, but he was looking up. sometimes you're so busy doing the Lord's work, you don't take time for the Lord or the work. So remember that. If you want true happiness and joy, seek Jesus and seek better health, because it kind of goes hand in hand. You can't really have the best health without a continuing relationship with the Lord. He loves you, like my wife said. He wants what's best for you. He's planned what's best for you. And you can have true happiness and joy because he's coming soon. But anyhow, let's get started, okay? You've heard about my background, so we won't spend any time on that. And what you know is important, but that's not enough. You know, life and death, knowledge and power, why knowing what matters isn't what's the matter. It isn't enough to know what to do. You've got to do it. So let's go back here. There's lifestyle and everything else. Now, what does lifestyle include? Does lifestyle only include what you do? Yes or no? It includes everything you do, but does it also include what you don't do? Everything you do, everything you don't do. Because I know there's some things that you need to do. Some of you are doing. Most of you are not doing enough of, and that's exercise. Okay, and it also includes, you know, things that you don't do, like it's good that you don't smoke. Some people do smoke, but if you do smoke, you need to stop. And if you don't eat as healthfully as you might, you need to make some changes there. So it includes everything in life that we do and we don't do. And you need to look at everything in life as either this is going to improve my health or it's going to weaken or diminish my health. And the same thing goes in the spiritual life. What is this activity going to do to improve my relationship with God? Or what would this do to weaken my relationship with God? If it's going to weaken my relationship with God or weaken my health, do I really want to be involved in that? So think about that. You know, you want what's good, what's better, what's best. Singaporeans like what's best, and they have a term for that. It's called kiasu. Biggest, nicest, fanciest, best. Well, I think most people usually want what's best. You know, they don't want to step on other people's toes, but there's nothing wrong with what's best if you will share what's best and God's blessings that he's done for you with others. Don't keep it all to yourself. So your lifestyle includes everything you do and everything you don't do. And the other thing is you're never going to change unless you realize you need to change. Now, I know that's not necessarily the work of your spouses. You know, sometimes, you know, spouses, some spouses spend so much time trying to change their spouse. They've met, and this, if only my spouse would become like this, they would be the perfect spouse. And they spend so much energy and time. You know, I have some words of advice for you. Don't ever criticize your spouse's judgment. Remember, your spouse accepted you the way that you are, and you better accept them the way that they are. And I'm not saying that neither of you don't need to be changed, but I don't want you to concern yourself with trying to change your spouse. The successful way to change your spouse is to get so close to Jesus that your life is transformed, and that when your spouse sees this happen in you, they're going to say, My husband or wife has never been so kind, gentle, and considerate that they may want the Lord to transform them. That's the best way to do it. No other way works, really. So think about that, okay? So you've got to think you need to change before you're going to change. And that's really what we're talking about a little bit. But that's really the work of the Holy Spirit. And I'm certain that God doesn't say, you know, the people of Fallenbrook, they're really wonderful people. They don't need to change or improve anymore. I think God wants better for all of us. So remember that. And so try to communicate with him and find out what he wants you to do. So in prioritization, God first, health and family next, and then comes my job and others. So there's so many things we need to do in life. How do we prioritize? This is a really great method. And I learned this from one of the presidents of our Loma Linda Medical School Alumni Association. Put God first. Then take time to be healthy. That means take time to exercise. Take time to eat properly. Take time for your rest. And then comes your job and other people. And if you do that, you'll actually take better care of, you know, my job would be taking care of patients or taking care of clients like you or taking care of you. I will actually do a better job if I do things that way. So think about that. God first, health and family next, and then comes your work and others. And part of the work with your health and family is communication. Communication with your children, communication with your spouse or significant other. And the most important part of communication is not talking, but listening. And the other thing is you're personally responsible for your health. Unless you have a congenital defect, which does happen, you're responsible for your health. Your health is the result of your choices. My wife told you how much God values your freedom of choice. To give you the freedom of choice, it costs the life of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, to leave us free to choose how we would like to spend eternity. Without Christ's sacrifice, we would not have that choice. So remember that. My wife's name is May. You realize I'm Asian, and Asians have a kind of a different slant on life. And in Asian society, children are your fortune. So she's told you we have 5 children. Well, I'm going to show you a picture of them. And the reason was because they were raised the way that we are trying to teach you to follow. They were raised on a vegetarian diet. When they were small, I mean 3, 4, 5, our relatives and friends would kind of look at them and point with a finger of disdain and say, "You know why your children are so short and skinny?" And I would say, "Well, no, why?" I'd say, "Because you won't feed them any real food." I said, "I feed them lots of good. We feed them lots of good food." "Well, you won't feed them any meat and fish or chicken." I said, "You're absolutely right. We won't do that because we don't think that's the best food. We made that choice many years ago before our first son was born, that we wanted to raise them on a healthy diet, actually the best diet." In fact, we've got a talk, and I'm sure Wes has one similar, you know, food for the brain. And there's some very good texts for that in the Bible, one in Genesis 1 and the other one's in Daniel 1. So Wes knows what I'm leading at. But anyhow, now they say, "How come your kids are so tall?" Because my oldest son is, I just saw him this morning. I met him over at LAX. He's 6'3". My daughter's 5'7". The boys are my height or taller. I say, "Well, the reason they're so tall is because they never ate any meat or fish or chicken." And it's true. They start to grow later. The growth spurt is later in life. And they grow for a longer period of time. My older son was still growing taller when he was 20 years of age. And the other thing is females, girls, they go through the onset of menstruation or menarche at a later age. My daughter didn't start to menstruate till she was 16, almost 17. Advantages of that: lower risk for breast cancer later in life. Of course, as soon as the female starts to menstruate, she's capable of reproduction. And that's one of the reasons, you know, the average age for onset of menstruation or menarche in the U.S. is around 11 or 12 years of age. And so, you know, the kids aren't as old then, they're not as mature, so things are better. So a plant-based diet is really better, and we're very grateful. 3 physicians and 1 businessman and 1 electrical engineer. So she's a veterinarian, he's a physician, he's physician ophthalmologist, electrical engineer, and he's a businessman. So I'm grateful for the Lord's blessing. This is the ultrasound. That's what I've been looking at. Well, let me tell you a little bit about the results on this. Now, what I'm looking for is deposits of cholesterol. And if you have deposits of cholesterol, you're at a slightly higher risk for a stroke or a heart attack. If you don't have any cholesterol, I have to give you a disclaimer. That means I wasn't able to see it, but that doesn't mean that there may not be any there. It's pretty good. It's really very good. But it's also possible for you to have some things that we can't see, because we're only looking at a very small part of the arterial system. And hopefully, if you have plaque, you'll be motivated to change your lifestyle and to follow a plant-based diet, because that's the only way you're going to get rid of it, barring the second coming. So the second coming, if you've got plaque, it's all going to go away. But between now and then, if you want to get rid of it, you can't eat any food that contains cholesterol, which means you don't want to eat anything with a mother or a face. And your stomach is not a graveyard for dead animals, see? If it's dead, you bury it and you don't eat it. So anyhow, that's available if you want afterwards. Okay, the charge is $20. Now, as far as diabetes goes, we've done lots of work with diabetes. In fact, if you come to Weimar, I think for the Weimar alumni reunion, which is the last week of June of this year, Neil Barnard has agreed to come to speak, which is awesome, because he uses a protocol very similar to what we use. In working with people with diabetes, if you will follow the protocol that we use, 40% of those of you with diabetes can have normal blood sugars without having to use any medication. So that's really good. Out of the other 60% who still need medicine, you can get by with less medicine and better control. And this is something that we've been doing for the last 15 years, and we know it works. There's very specific guidelines you have to follow. Here you see the blood sugars come down from 150 to 120. 120 is not normal, but that's the mean, that's the average for all the people that were in the test. Cholesterol has come down, weight has come down, and so on. Yeah, that should be in pounds, but I have one for pounds and one for kilos. Okay, now, here's the one in pounds. 205 pounds, they went down to 187 pounds, exercise time increased, and their walking distance increased. As far as exercise goes, I would really encourage you to exercise at least an hour a day and do that at least 4 or 5 times a week. And if you can, get in 3 miles. So here's the history of one of our guests who came. And his name was Ron. When he came, he was 68 years old. And this was 16 years ago. And he'd had diabetes for 10 years. He'd had a heart attack 14 years earlier. He had angina. That's pain from his heart not getting enough blood, pain in his chest or his left arm. He had a high blood pressure. He had diabetic neuropathy for 5 years, and he had been too short for 25 years. What do you mean, too short? Well, let me explain. I don't like to call people fat or overweight. See? You can weigh whatever you want as long as you're tall enough. And if you aren't tall enough, then I guess the next best thing is, since you're not going to grow taller at your state, next best thing is to lose weight. My wife is an expert on that. Well, anyhow, Ron was too short, and he'd been like that for 25 years. He was really pretty short. Anyhow, when he came to see us, he weighed 265 pounds, and his highest weight was 287 pounds. Well, during the time that he was with us, and this was 1999, so that was 16 years ago, he lost 16 pounds in the 18 days. His lowest weight that he achieved was 190, and right now he's somewhere around 200, which is pretty good. The other thing is no more medicine for diabetes, no more medicine for high blood pressure, and that's still the way he is now. I haven't talked to him in the last 6 months, but we saw him at New Start in January of the last year. He's still doing well, okay, and he feels great. And when he went to see his doctors many years ago, when you go see the doctors, they give you prescriptions. They come back and see us in 3 months. And after he'd done that a few times, he said, there's got to be a better way. And he discovered New Start. He came to New Start. So he's a real advocate of the principles that we follow. Now, it cost him $5,000 at that time, 16 years ago, to come to the program. And it lengthened his life, well, now 16 years. But $30,000 are his retirement benefits and Social Security and so on. 30,000 times 16 is $480,000. You divide that by his initial investment of $5,000. That's a 96-fold return on his investment. Have you ever found any investment that ever gave you a 96-fold return? The only thing that's going to come anywhere close to that is spending time with God, and that's going to give you eternal returns. And that's, of course, much better. But, you know, any worldly investment, financial investment, 96-fold, that's what he got. Think about it. Okay, heart disease, the number one cause of death, you know, high blood pressure, cancer, bad news. Those are all things that you can miss out on if you will follow Dr. Youngberg's advice. And our advice, with regular exercise, a plant-based diet, and spending some time with God every day. Really, really important, okay? So heart disease is the leading cause of death for both men and women. Women are afraid of cancer, but, you know, more women die from heart attacks and heart disease than die from breast cancer. So every year, you know, anywhere from almost 800,000 Americans have the first heart attack, and 470,000 have their second. And you really don't want to have those, and you really want to avoid those. And I wish I could tell you that if you lived your whole life on a total plant-based diet, you would never have a heart attack. But Wes and I, and you realize it, there's an unhealthy plant-based diet. There's a healthy plant-based diet, and there's an unhealthy plant-based diet. You know, potato chips aren't very healthy, but they're vegan. You know? So you've got to pick a healthy plant-based diet. That's important. So remember that. Now, how important is it for exercise? Well, you see, I guess you can't see it, but I can. Sorry about that. I don't know what the deal is. Not exercising is as bad for your heart as being too short, that was obesity, as having high blood pressure, having high cholesterol, or having diabetes. So,
you keep on talking about
do whatever you need to do. So that's kind of important for you to do those things. Now,
I have to re-save it up here because it's not recognizing your cable. And
okay.
So it switches a bunch.
Okay.
So just give me a second.
I'll talk to you a little bit about diabetes. In our protocol for diabetes, you've really got to be on a plant-based diet. No meat, fish, chicken, eggs, or dairy. They've done studies that show whenever you eat meat, fish, and chicken, it kicks your blood sugar up. One of my colleagues in preventive medicine, Steve Provancha, discovered this, and he was the head of preventive medicine over Kaiser in Riverside, and he started doing this on his patients. I learned about this way back in 97, shortly after I got to Weimar. And so he wrote a paper on this. It was published in Medical Hypothesis. And it's very clear, when you take the meat, the fish, the chicken away, the blood sugars come down in the majority of cases. Not all, but significant, statistically significant and clinically significant amount. It makes a big difference. So I saw a patient, well, I met the gentleman. He went to our reversing diabetes programs, which we used to conduct, and we would do about 10 of these a year in various Christian conference centers throughout the world. When he came in, he was overweight. He was on insulin, and within 3 days, and it's unusual for it to happen this fast, but within 3 days of starting to follow the protocol that we use, he was euglycemic, that's normal blood sugars, without any insulin. Now, sometimes it takes 3 or 4 weeks or 3 or 4 months, but it's worth doing. So if you have diabetes, you need to pay attention. I'm interested in diabetes because my dad and mom both had type 2 diabetes. They both had high blood pressure. But I don't have, because my lifestyle is different. I was not raised on a plant-based diet. I eat lots of meat, fish, chicken, you know, things like that. But I'm so happy that I made the choice to do otherwise. Because if I didn't, you know, it's possible that I might not even be around. What happens is, looking back at medical history and genetics, my father was one of 16 children. He had 5 sisters and 10 brothers. He was raised in Hawaii. His parents came from southern China. And at this time, well, no. So they were raised in Hawaii. They worked really hard. My father decided he wanted to go to medical school, so he was the first one in his family became a doctor. One of his brothers became a doctor. But I'm interested more in telling you about cancer now. One of my father's sisters died from breast cancer. One sister died from ovarian cancer. Two brothers died from colorectal cancer. A third brother had colorectal cancer. That was surgically removed, and he died from a massive heart attack. Because of that family history, my father was advised to go get what we now call, well, at that time they only had sigmoidoscopy, to check the colon for cancer. He went and got checked. They had a polyp. The polyp was cancerous. They removed the polyp, and they went back and resected that part of the colon. My father was fortunate. He lived another 18 or 19 years. He did not have cancer when he died at age 81. He lived longer, to an older age, than any of his brothers. Okay? Now, I had a brother who had finished medical school. He finished his internship. He was married and he had a little girl. But my brother never reached his 28th birthday. What did my brother die from? He died from a type of cancer, a lymphoma. Now, with what we now know from epidemiology and the study of disease, causes of diseases, which is what epidemiology is, if my brother and I had been raised on a plant-based diet like we chose to raise our children, there's a high probability, well, you think there's a high probability that my brother might still be alive today, right? And if I hadn't chosen to go to a plant-based diet or a vegetarian diet 41 years ago, there'd be a high probability that I might not even be here in front of you. I could be dead like my brother. You think that's a reasonable, if you look at all the data and the facts, you think that's a reasonable assumption? I've had friends whose father died from colorectal cancer. I tried to persuade him to become a vegetarian. He declined. Save time. He got colon cancer and died from it. I had another friend whose father had severe heart disease, died before the age of 40, tried to persuade him to become a vegetarian. He didn't like my preferences. He chose not to. And my friend did make it past up to 60, but then again, he went to the hospital one day to see a patient, was going to stay in the on-call room and then go home after he saw the patient in the morning. He never woke up. He died from a heart attack. So we say faulty genetics loads the gun, lifestyle pulls the trigger. So it really makes a difference. You got anything up there? You know which one to go to or not? Okay. Here's something else to think about. Of individuals who were born in the year 2000, now we're looking at risk for diabetes. Looking at the guys, 33% of the boys who were born in the year 2000, they're going to be 15 years old now, 16 years old, they have a 33% risk of developing diabetes sometime in their life. Girls, it's like 38%. That's not a very good statistic to look at, but that's what we predict. And part of the reason for this is if we look at our young people, the young people are more sedentary, they're doing less, they're more overweight, and there's a very direct relationship with how much a person is overweight and how long they're overweight and the risk of developing diabetes. So that's something we see very clearly. Oh, Murder Burger. Murder Burger, that was the name of a fast food restaurant near where we live in UC Davis. They changed the name, unfortunately. That's wonderful. They ought to franchise that name. And I asked the owner, I happened to go to his store one day, I said, why are you changing the name? I mean, that's marvelous. I mean, we'll meet you at Murder Burger. He says, well, this is about the time news came out about mad cow disease. And he says, there's a few too many negative comments. They offered a prize, and here was the prize. If you got the name that they chose to use, You get $1,000 cash, which was great. But the rest of the prize is one free meal every day at that restaurant for the rest of your life, however short it might be. And you know what they changed the name to? Murder spelled backwards, Red Rum Burger. So that's what they changed it to. Okay, well, you don't... Oh, yeah, you do. Okay. So that's what people think of when they think of meat, you know, and that really is not good for you, okay? And please note, so good they're to die for. And over here it says, serving ostrich, the healthy alternative. Now, Wes and I and May, we're not trying to take all the fun out of your life. Sometimes people think, if I'm going to live healthy, I'm never going to have any more fun. I'm not going to have any more good food to eat. You're going to take it away, or at least if you don't take it away, you're going to make me feel guilty if I go out and eat it. And sometimes people think the same way about Christianity and going to a church or getting acquainted with the Lord. They say, I'll never have any more fun in life. That's totally wrong. Okay, our goal is to give you more life to enjoy the fun. And I say the gospel is to give you more life to enjoy eternity. Amen. Wouldn't you like to live forever in good health, never get sick? That's what God plans for us. Okay, accidents, number one cause of death for children. Cancer is the number two cause of death for children. Again, we think of leukemia and things like this. And again, the incidence of leukemia seems to be higher in children. And again, I had a New Star guest whose family owned dairies, and they drank fresh milk. Fresh milk means raw milk. And her observation was that of the families who had similar dairies like they did, of those who drank raw milk, there seemed to be a higher incidence of something called leukemia. Well, when you study the cows and look at the cows, there's a much higher incidence of something called bovine leukemia virus found in the cows. Anywhere from low of 20% up to 70% of the cattle have bovine leukemia virus. So would you want to drink milk from a cow, even if it's been pasteurized or sterilized, that had bovine leukemia virus? And the answer is, I really would rather not. Well, the only way you can be sure, again, is not to drink milk. So that's something else to think about. So protect your children at home. Keep sharp objects out of their hands. As an ophthalmologist, whenever I see a child with a stick or sharp pointed object, I don't ask them for it. If I ask them for it, what are they going to say? No, it's mine. I just go over there and I grasp it very firmly so that I remove it from their grasp and just take care of it that way. I mean, you know, you've got to recognize what they are. They don't understand. So just remove it from them. And also, please get your families and your children immunized. You've heard about the measles outbreak. And I know some Adventists and others say, well, I don't believe in immunizations. Well, we believe in immunizations. Immunizations save lives. And get your flu shots. If you haven't gotten your flu shots, get your flu shots. People get flu. Children get flu and they die from flu. Adults get flu and they die from flu. Granted, the flu vaccine is not as good this year. But if you haven't had it, please get your immunizations, okay? And teach your children and young people to say no. Don't give in to peer pressure. Don't smoke. That's important. Tobacco, weapon of mass destruction. Okay, I told you this. Faulty genetics loads the gun. Lifestyle pulls the trigger. Really important to pay attention to what your parents said. If your mother, father, brother, or sister had colorectal cancer, your risk for that is much higher. Please get colonoscopies. Ladies, if your mothers or sisters had breast cancer, your risk is definitely much higher. Ladies, please get your mammograms. Guys, get your prostate checked. And men and women, get your cholesterol checked. You know, get some form of lab panel at least once a year. That's really important. Now, as I told you, it's not what you know, it's what you do with what you know. To help you do what you need to do, talk to God. If God wants you to be healthy, if God wants you to exercise, if he thinks a plant-based diet is best for you, do you think he's willing to give you the power to do it? James 4:2 says, you have not because you ask not. But Lord, I like my Kentucky Fried Chicken. I'm telling you things that I used to like, okay? And I like my Peking roast duck. And I like my steamed fish. You know, but that's not all that important. There's other things more important in life than food. You want to eat healthy food because it is good. And you want to be able to have the best health. So if you need help in changing your lifestyle, if you need help in having a closer walk with God, if you need help in understanding and reading the Bible when you get up in the morning, talk to the Lord about it. Say, Lord, help me to understand what I'm reading. I want to know you better. My life is so empty without you. You know, what purpose is there in life for me? You all have a sphere of influence. You need to learn to use your sphere of influence to share with others what a wonderful Lord you found and how much better your health can be if you will follow the rules of health. It makes a big difference. Good food, 80% reduction in heart disease, 90% reduction in diabetes, 60% reduction in cancer, and so on. So that really does make a difference. Dr. Dean Ornish published a paper. His first paper was about reversal of heart disease back in 1990-91. Now, he's also talked about if you change your lifestyle, you can even change the way it seems that you're what we call something we call epigenetics. It may change the way you respond to certain things. And that's why I think if you've got the bad family history for heart disease and cancer, you need to change the way that you eat and live. Don't live like your parents and the other ones who got those diseases to live like, because if you do, you're going to get the same disease. It makes a big difference. Today is the first day of all the rest. True or false? I see some heads nodding. Is that true or is that false? Question, how long is all the rest? How long? Say it louder. Eternity. Today is the first day of all the rest of eternity. And every single one of you have the opportunity to live that long. The choice is yours. It's up to you. God made it possible. Think about that, okay? So how long you live is up to you. Please choose wisely. I see it's going to work better if I just keep changing fast. It's never too late to change. But I've been eating Kentucky Fried Chicken for years. You can change, okay? It's never too late to eat right. It's never too late to exercise. Wes and I went exercising once about 11 o'clock, 11:30 at night after he finished giving a lecture on exercise. And I asked him, I said, have you exercised yet? He said, no. So we went and changed. We went out in the cemetery. Very peaceful and quiet at 11 o'clock at night. No one talks back. The people in Singapore said, did you see any ghosts? And I said, we never saw any ghosts. So we got our exercise. As long as it's safe, go exercise, okay? I like this one. Being cheerful keeps you healthy. The slow death to be gloomy all the time. You know it is, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. But this one is so good, the Good News Bible. Be an optimist. Don't be a pessimist. Look on the bright side. There may be clouds, but there's a silver lining. There may be clouds, but there's the sun above. There may be clouds, there may even be rain, but we need rain here in California. Okay. So that's the way you know it. Now, your attitude is really important. Are you an optimist or a pessimist? Can you change? Absolutely you can change. The only reason you can't change is if you are unwilling to change. So don't be unwilling to change if the change would be good for you. Okay? So your health is the function of lifestyle. Lifestyle can be chosen. The choice is yours. How are you going to choose to live? You're going to put into practice the principles that Dr. Youngberg has been trying to promote for you for the last I don't know how many years that I'm trying to promote now. It's really up to you, and if you don't do it, it's not going to do you any good, so remember that. Life expectancy here in the U.S., I just looked this up the other day, 78.8 years. Now, I know a few of you are older than that, but some of you are hoping to get there, and some of you aren't going to make it unless you do something differently. Think about it, okay? Really important to manage your weight, keep your weight down. That's really important, okay? And talking about drugs that they sell the most of are usually to lower cholesterol. And if you're at risk for getting diabetes, one of the ways that you can lower your risk for getting diabetes is lose 15 pounds, because the average American is overweight, and walk 150 minutes a week, or that's 30 minutes five times a week. And you lower your risk for getting diabetes by 58%. And if you're over age 60, you lower your risk for getting diabetes by 71%. So I'm at risk for getting diabetes. That's one of the reasons I wanted to be on a plant-based diet, because I really don't want it. Two-thirds of adult Americans are too short. The other thing about them is 26.4% of Americans over age 65 have diabetes. One out of every four Americans over age 65 have diabetes, and that's not good. So, again, want to get your weights down. Food. Dr. George Mann from Vanderbilt and Dr. Frederick Stare from Harvard said, in their opinion, food is one of the most important things that affects your health. What you put in your mouth is really important. And all of you are the ones now who select your food. But you say, sometimes I get invited out and my host or hostess has this beautiful spread out there, and I don't want to offend them, so I'm going to eat it. No, really, you don't have to eat it. You can say, Dr. Youngberg or Dr. Ng told me it wasn't good for me, and I've got to follow their rules. We'll be happy to shoulder the blame to relieve you of that guilt. So we don't mind that at all. So blame it on us. It's all our fault. But you can tell them ahead of time, that you have certain dietary choices. And if it's really important that you have to eat there, you can say, well, I'll be happy to bring some food of my own. Or the other thing is, you don't have to eat. You can just go there and socialize. So you want to make healthy choices. So that's really important. Hippocrates said, let thy food be thy medicine, and thy medicine be thy food. The wrong type of food can make you sick. The right type of food combined with activity can help relieve a lot of the problems that people suffer from. God wants you to be healthy. Here's your reminder, 3 John 2. You're his beloved, and he wants you to prosper and be in health. So changing your diet will make a difference. And can you trust your appetite? Well, not unless there are two things that happen to your appetite. One is your appetite needs to be educated. That means you need to be educated to what's healthy. That's one condition. And the other condition to have a safe appetite is your appetite has to be sanctified. It has to be educated and then sanctified. How is one's appetite going to become sanctified? Only if it is surrendered. Okay? You surrender your appetite to the Lord every day, and you ask him to transform it and sanctify it. And if necessary, before every meal. And maybe even in between meals, because some of you may eat in between meals, which we don't think is the best way. Well, of course, I know some of you only eat once a day. You get up in the morning, you start to eat, and you eat all day long. We call that grazing. So that isn't the best plan either. So educate your appetite. Listen to what Dr. Youngberg has to say. Listen to what we're going to say. But he has much more information. And then give your appetite to the Lord, okay? He can change it for you. So we can't be safely guided by the customs of society. Because in American society, to be strong and healthy, you need meat and potatoes. Potatoes are okay as long as they're not French fries and potato chips. You know, baked potatoes, boiled potatoes, things like that are fine. But meat you can get rid of. So the disease and suffering that everywhere prevail are largely due to those concepts, which most people don't recognize initially, but lots and lots of people now are advocating the advantages of a plant-based diet. When Wes came to Singapore in the late 80s, it was really difficult to find many vegetarian restaurants here in the U.S. And when we went to Singapore in the early 80s, the only ones we could find there were usually Buddhist restaurants. But now, it's really easy to find vegetarian restaurants. If you do any traveling, I think there's a website. It's happycow.org. You can go look that up, and you can find places where you go. Happycow.org. Something better. I don't want something better for you. I want the best. And the best would be the things that we've been talking about. A good plant-based diet and exercise and taking time for God every day. You do need carbs. You do need fat. Fat is vegetable fat. And you do need protein. Now, how many of you would rather have a new car or would you rather have a pre-owned car? You'd rather have a new car? Okay. When you think about protein, would you rather have new protein or pre-owned protein? See, if you want new protein, you get it from the plants. If you want pre-owned protein, you can get it from milk or meat or fish or chicken. Because where did they get their protein from? From eating plants. So do you want new protein or pre-owned protein? Your choice. You do need fat, but vegetable fat is best. Nuts, seeds, olives, and avocados are a great way to go. Now, if you're at risk for getting diabetes, as I was, because my parents both had diabetes, one of the most important things you can do is keep your weight down and regular exercise. And the other important thing, of course, is a plant-based diet. Now, the standard American diet is SAD. That's the acronym. High in fat, refined carbohydrates, and extra protein. So you really don't want to eat the standard American diet. The GLAD diet, I like this, God's life-activating diet. Whole plant foods, eaten whole. No snacking or eating between meals. And avoiding meat, fish, chicken, eggs, and dairy products. That's a good way to go. Now, principle number one, wholesome and balanced breakfast, large enough to provide one-third to one-half of your day's nutrient requirements. You need a good breakfast. That's important. And breakfast like a king, I can see what's a lunch like a prince, and supper like a pauper. Okay? And again, nothing between meals except water. And if you're going to eat two meals a day, which two should you eat?
Breakfast and lunch.
Breakfast and lunch. Your smallest meal of the day should be your evening meal if you choose to eat it. Okay, but oftentimes, the smallest meal of the day is breakfast, and the largest meal of the day for the average American is usually the evening meal. And that's not the best way to go. Oh, what do you see here? Okay. This reminds me of a story. You know, in springtime, down here, when it rains, do you ever see little worms, earthworms come out, you know, on the sidewalk? Well, they'd done this at Weimar, and so it had rained in the spring, and the earthworms came out, and the robins came down. And the robins, for some reason or another, hadn't learned the lesson of temperance, so they devoured every earthworm they could see. And they ate so much that when they tried to fly back up to the trees, they couldn't do it. They're going like this, and they couldn't get off the ground. So Sylvester the cat came by, and he spied the robins there fluttering around and relaxing, basking in the sun. And he said, "Dinner is served." And he turned, and he devoured the poor robins. As he sat down and he rubbed his tummy, he said, "I just love Baskin Robbins." See, the Lord was good. He let that come through so you could see that. I had to take that picture just so I could tell you that story. Now, liquid candy, soda pop, you're familiar with that. Is that good for you? Of course it's not. 19 ounces a day, the average consumption for Americans, okay? And average teenage boy, 42 ounces. That's 3.5 cans. Average teenage girl, 2.5 ounces. A double gulp at 7-Eleven, that's 2 quarts. That's a half gallon. I travel a lot, get offered lots of soft drinks on planes. I just don't take it. If it's mealtime, I'll take juice. If it's not mealtime, I'll take water. This is what happens when you take whole wheat kernels and you refine them into white flour. And the four that you saw over there on the left were thiamine, riboflavin, niacin, and iron. And the losses in these is quite significant. This is how many slices of white bread equals one slice of whole wheat bread. They add the four back over here, and they call the flour the enriched white flour. And it's really not enriched. It's been, they've removed all these nutrients, so it's not a good value for you nutritionally speaking. Oh, we already saw that. Okay, let's go on. Oh, just a little bit about fiber. Fiber is found in a plant-based diet. More fiber, less heart disease, colon cancer, rectal cancer, diabetes, obesity, and constipation. And that's the part that provides the bulk in the stool. And if you don't find any fiber in meat, poultry, fish, eggs, milk, and cheese, and if we don't have fiber in the food, it's a lot easier to eat too much. So it's important to get the fiber. Adequate fiber makes it easier to control your blood sugar, keep your blood pressure down, and so on. Another thing is if you want your children to do better in school, you want to have them eat a good, healthy breakfast. Having a good breakfast is important. This is important because have you ever noticed around some holidays that let me go back here. Your children may get sick. Well, here's the reason why. And if I can talk, I'll just try to go back and forth between that. And that is, if you allow your children to eat something with sugar in it, no sugar, your white blood cells will kill 14 germs. You eat a banana split, which has got 24 teaspoons of sugar, it's only going to kill one germ. Or like what I'm trying to say is if your kids go out and they eat a big piece of pie or cake or ice cream that would normally be given to adult, that amount of sugar can suppress their immune system and they have a higher risk of getting sick. And we've seen this time and time again. We've had patients, we tell them, take the sweets and the candies away from your children, and if they do this, they won't get sick as often. When I have children come in who are sick, I tell their parents when they go home, keep all refined sugar away from your children. They will get well much faster. So it's important to avoid that refined sugar. And the last one for this section is right here. To prove to you what type of diet will give you the most energy. And this is a high-fat, high-protein diet. They were able to ride the exercise, the bicycle, for 57 minutes. Mixed diet, they double their time. And the high-carbohydrate diet, they tripled their time. So if you want more energy, you want complex carbohydrates, brown rice, And you don't want, white bread. The whiter the bread, the sooner you're dead. Okay? And the whiter the rice, the sooner you're on ice. Complex carbohydrates. I like rice much better than bread. So again, complex carbs will give you more energy. You do need more carbs. It's possible to lose weight on a low-carb diet, but that's not the way to go. Any questions? Why not eat between meals? It takes a certain amount of time to digest your food, and it takes like 4+ hours. If you eat between meals, you're just continually adding something to the food. Your stomach keeps working, really doesn't get the rest it needs. You'll do much better if you only eat 2 or 3 times a day. I know many dietitians and even a few doctors will tell you that, you know, you need to eat 2 or 3 times in between meals, a snack between meals, but that is not the best way. And that's why I think people, when they get to be older later on in life, have so much problem with indigestion and other problems. I've seen that consistently. I'm sure Dr. Youngberg has seen that. Question.
70% carbohydrates, 20 fat, and 10 protein. Now, is that...
speak into the mic.
Is that true in terms of if one is exercising at the gym as well?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's fine if you're exercising in the gym. The bulk of your diet should be carbs. The only time we have to be careful with carbs is if you have diabetes. We still want you to get the carbs, but you've got to be more selective in how you use the carbs. But, yeah, you don't need all these protein supplements they're trying to get you to buy.
Yeah, I noticed that.
No, you're just wasting your money.
Yeah.
You know, Wes and I had a good teacher, Dr. David Neiman, and we had a class. He said, that's a real common question you're going to get asked by people, bodybuilders and things like that. Do I need all those protein supplements? The answer is you don't need it.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Hi. Question, if you follow a plant-based diet and your cholesterol is around 150, and then he finds out tonight that he has pretty significant clogged arteries in his neck, what do you feel about cutting out avocados, nuts, olive oil, and tofu?
I think the olive oil is fine to go. I mean, you can get along without that. I'd like to know what the rest of the profile is, what the HDL is.
They were really good, actually.
Okay,
much better than
that's
mine.
That's good.
And, but I have the clear neck, and he doesn't.
He's on a strict vegan diet? If you're not on
strict,
if you're not on a 100% vegan diet...
Some fish...
Yeah,
once
no, if you're not on a 100% vegan diet, that's not going to cut it. If you want to get rid of plaque, you've got to be on a 100% vegan diet. 100%.
And what about eating like cashews and dressings with tofu? That's still high saturated fat, right?
Well, cashews are okay, but if you don't have any heart disease, a modest amount of nuts, seeds, olives, and avocados, you do need some.
But would you consider now with his deal in his neck to have that's considered hard?
Well, I think the most important thing is to be 100% vegan. Get rid of the fish, chicken, eggs, cheese, things like
that.
No
dairy,
yeah.
Okay.
But get rid of any animal protein.
Right. Okay.
That's the most important part.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah, I don't know where to start. I'm on a sad diet.
Oh, I'm sure Dr. Wes Youngberg can help you straighten that out. But.
Stick around the next hour. That's where you start. All right. Anybody else?
Any other questions?
Right over here.
What have your studies found on the more natural sugars like stevia or xylitol?
The natural sugars are the things that you find in your fruit. So on. Those are the ones that I encourage as they come in the fruit. Use date sugar. Stevia, you know, there have been some questions about the free use of the stevia. We don't advocate it for our patients, and we don't advocate the other things. If you want, as long as you don't have diabetes. Do you have diabetes? If you don't have diabetes, I wouldn't worry about a little bit of sugar, okay? But as far as sugar goes, if, you know, use date sugar. Use ground up dates. Because with that, you've got your vitamins and minerals and everything else. If you use refined regular sugar, you know, that's not good because all, you know, there's devoid of vitamins and minerals. And, you know, date sugars are great for sweetening. You can use unsweetened applesauce, you know, use on cereal, things like that. And But if you do have diabetes, then I really don't want you. You're going to have to be real careful even with use of date sugar. Okay, any other questions?
Yes, I have a question. You were talking about promoting immunizations. I wanted to know, what about the preservatives they use in these vaccinations? Are they harmful? And are they safe, these preservatives? I just have that question.
Good question. So are preservatives harmful or unsafe? You know, the majority of people, it's not going to cause any problem. It's always possible for a person to have a reaction to an immunization. But by and large, immunizations save lots of lives. And by not getting immunizations, you see the big problem they've been having here with measles in the last few months. Not only, you know, people have been to Disneyland and schools, and I see a significant number of people who say, I don't want to be immunized, and they don't get immunized. But that causes problems. Measles spreads so rapidly, and it causes problems. And people do die from measles. People do die from the flu. So I encourage people to get immunizations. If you're allergic to eggs and the flu shot, they have a flu vaccine which is not made with eggs that is safe. So these things are available, and I encourage immunizations. Okay. Any other questions?
I have a quick two-part question. When it comes to complex carbohydrates, can you eat too much of such as brown rice? And I don't know if I'm compromising, trying to find a way to eat white rice, but there are some white rices that have, maybe Asian rice, that may have like 2 grams of fiber in it. And what's your thoughts on that?
The question is, can you eat too much rice?
Like brown rice, and can you substitute, like, if you ate white rice that has fiber in it, like 2 grams of fiber,
yeah,
or whatever?
The brown rice is better than the white rice, and you probably can't eat too much rice, you know, as long as you're not putting all kinds of sauces and gravies on it. If you just eat brown rice, you just eat potatoes, and you eat corn, and you eat the whole plant foods without adding all kinds of sauces and gravies, it's going to be very, very difficult to eat too much and to get in too many calories. It's the sauces and the gravies and the cream sauces and other things which really boost up your calories. So if you watch for those things, brown rice and, you know, you can eat all the baked potatoes you want. You're not going to gain weight on eating baked potatoes. It's when you make them into potato chips or hash browns or French fries that you add the calories, because that's where the oil comes in and adds up the calories.
Okay.
Okay?
I understand that there are about, I think, 8 essential amino acids. And in order for amino acids to be of any value to you, you have to have all of those 8 amino acids.
Correct.
And the best source of those essential amino acids are milk and eggs. And I never hear anybody talk about the benefits of amino acids in any of these talks.
Oh. Dr. Youngberg can give you a good lecture, but I'll make it short and brief. That is, you eat protein to supply the amino acids. The essential amino acids are the ones that must be found in the food that we eat because our body cannot make them. There are essential and non-essential. The non-essential, our body can make those, okay? Now, so milk and cream and meat, they do have all the amino acids. But, you know, there is a legume, which is a complete protein, a plant-based diet, a legume that's a complete protein all by itself. That's the soybean. It has all the essential amino acids in the quantities necessary for growth. The other thing about proteins is we used to think that you had to have the grain and the legume at the same meal to have a complete protein. That is no longer necessary. If you have them any time during the day, that's fine. The other thing they've also found out is, what if you don't get any legumes at all and all you get is grains? Or what if you only get legumes and no grains. Well, there again, if you get enough legumes, the amino acid which is deficient, you're going to get enough so you won't have any problems with growth. And the same thing the other way. So it's really simple. So what we tell people, if you're getting enough calories in a varied plant-based diet to maintain your weight, there is no way you're going to end up protein deficient. When was the last time that you read about someone here in the United States being protein deficient, unless they were starving? See? So protein deficiency on a varied plant-based diet is virtually impossible to have here in the U.S. I mean, if you've got adequate calories to maintain your weight, you're going to get adequate protein. It's really very simple.
So briefly, every single starchy food you consume, a vegan starchy food, has all the essential amino acids in it. The key is eat a varied diet, and they pool together to create basically all the amino acids you would use, that you would need from the essential grains. So really that whole issue with total protein in every meal was an issue that was brought up about 40 years ago, and it's really been disproven. It's no longer even considered to be a concern.
Hey, Dr. Ying, I wanted to ask a question about plant-based diet in regard to getting the right vitamins in the diet. Are you going to be talking about that later, or should I just ask it now?
No, as far as B vitamins, plant-based diet, I encourage people to take a B12 supplement just to be safe.
Okay, B12. And I was just wondering if someone wanted to take like a multivitamin or something like that just to supplement the diet, does that have any sort of benefit?
Well, if you're not getting a variety of plant-based foods, you can do that. But the only vitamins that I encourage people to take regularly are B12, and if you're low in vitamin D, to take vitamin D. So.
Thank you.
So those are the things, you know, if you want to be on a really strict vegan diet and you don't want to take B12, if you use soy milk that's fortified with B12, that's fine. But then I would get my B12 level checked at least once a year. I get my B12 level checked, and I get my vitamin D level checked. I didn't think I was low in vitamin D, but I went and got a check. You know, it was low, so I had to bite the bullet. I just take vitamin D3, and I take B12 occasionally, but most of the soy milk I use is fortified. And I just had my everything checked in November of last year. My vitamin D was a little lower than I want, so I need to take 3,000 units of D3 every day. Well, most of the time, except when I'm traveling.
Dr. Ying, what about bee pollen? I understand that's a complete food with complete vitamins and also all the amino acids that you need.
Would you repeat that again?
What about bee pollen?
Bee
pollen.
For
part of your everyday diet, because I understand it's a complete food with all the vitamins and nutrition that you need.
I think you can get along very nicely without it. Do you have anything to add to that, Wes? I don't think it's necessary to take that. I think that's probably just some marketing gimmick. People want to sell it.
I was just watching the hummingbirds as I was working outside this morning as they ran around to the different flowers and so forth. So I think individuals that promote bee pollen, it's the same kind of concept. It's you're potentially getting a highly nutritious substance. So it's like a special nutrient supplement. I haven't seen a lot of research on it, but I don't see anything wrong with it, and it may be very good. All right, we're going to have one more question because Dr. Ying has one more lecture to give, and he's got 20 minutes to give it. I don't know how much longer you want to go than the 20 minutes. There's people that are scheduled to do ultrasounds starting at 6 o'clock. So we'll take one more question, and we'll get on with the next lecture.
Is nutritional yeast a good source of the B vitamins?
Nutritional yeast?
Yes.
That will have some of the B vitamins, but I don't say it's going to have your B12.
Oh, I bought a can of it, and it had B12, 150% in 3 tablespoons.
Not unless it's usually added or fortified. Do you have anything to add to that, Wes?
I mean, yeah, if it says it on the label, chances are it's going to have that amount. That's not a super high amount of B12, though. Usually they're like 1,000% of the recommended daily intake on a supplement. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Dr. M, so much for taking the questions.
Okay. Let me, why don't you stand up and stretch?
Okay. So, stand up, take a break. There's a drinking fountain out back, there's restrooms out back as well. And then Dr. M will give his final lecture here starting in just a couple minutes.
I understand, dear. You gotta tell me your name.
Eileen Kuninobu.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's good to see you. What?
You said she's gained weight.
Oh. Hey, how's your dad?
back in and sit down, Dr. Ng. Dr. Ng is going to start his last presentation here in just a minute. So if you can sit down, and we'll get started. Dr. Ng, the time is yours.
What we're going to talk about should normally take at least an hour. So you're going to get highlights of it. We're going to be skimming across them. But stress, can it be avoided? It's kind of like when I talk about heart disease. The only people who don't have to worry about heart disease are which people? Those who are heartless or dead. So the only people who are not going to have stress in their life are which ones? Those who don't need to eat or breathe or drink, they're also dead. If you're alive, you've got stress. Some of it's conscious, some of it's unconscious. Okay, but there is stress. Something has to happen, there has to be a reaction to it. So eustress, good stress, bad stress, distress. Something can be eustress or good stress, but if you aren't used to it, you know, like exercise, if you exercise regularly, exercise is eustress. But if you haven't been exercising, you start to exercise because your doc says you need to go out and exercise, you know, like I says, an hour a day or walk 3 miles a day, you're going to be distressed. You know, that's not so good because you haven't been doing it. And there are different effects of stress. Do Christians have stress? The answer is, of course, they do. Stress can be depressing, but does it have to be? It depends upon your response to it. Your outlook, your attitude is vitally important for your health and well-being. And if you haven't learned the difference between being an optimist and a pessimist and the advantages, please, please, I encourage you to choose to be an optimist, okay? Stress can be depressing, but it doesn't have to be. It depends upon how you look at it, okay? Something has to happen. There has to be a response. So do Christians have an advantage? We'll talk about that. Something happens. That's called the stressor. There's a response. That's what we call stress. Classical reaction, cat meets a strange dog. Reaction of the cat to the dog, you know, well, it depends upon two things, the size of the cat in relation to the size of the dog. If it's a big cat and a little dog, it's fight. If it's a big dog and a little cat, if the cat's got any wisdom, it's flight. I'm out of here. And, you know, we see the typical reaction, arch-backed cat, tail stands up and all the hair is standing out straight. That would be your classical stress reaction. So something happens, there's a response to it. Something happens, there's no response, then there's no stress. The other thing you also recognize is that sometimes some things will cause you stress one day. Exactly the same thing can happen on another day and it doesn't stress you out. Why? What's the reason? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever noticed that? And if you haven't, it's really true. Part of it can depend upon rest, whether you're all well-rested or not. Part of it can depend upon, you know, if you had a disagreement and when you left home, you know, something like that. Lots of variables can enter in and change your reaction to the stressor. Things that will help you tolerate more stress, making sure you get enough sleep, making sure you get adequate exercise, making sure you're on a healthy diet. With these types of things, living healthily, you can go through a lot more stressors and they won't get you all excited and get you bent out of shape. So that's important. Get the rest you need. You know, eat properly. Get your exercise. Take time with the Lord. You know, remember. So the events or life situations are what we call stressors. The other interesting thing about stress is most stress involves relationships. Either the lack of a relationship or the presence of a relationship, but things may not be going well in the relationship. So as you look at the list here, You see, family, work, school, all of these involve relationships. Disappointment usually involves relationships. Loss of sleep can be affected by relationships. Excessive work, worry, change, bodily harm, all of these things can be stressors. Now, the other thing we recognize is here as we look at our diagram, that with a certain amount of work pressure, your performance going vertically varies. Not enough work pressure, your performance is not as good. You get an optimal amount, as you see right here, then you've got high performance, but too much work pressure, then your performance will fall off. So, and again, your performance under work pressure can vary from day to day depending on the other variables. Rest, exercise, good diet, relationships. You know, if you left home in a, you know, you had a disagreement when you left home, you know, that's going to, you won't be able to do as well. So those are things we look at. So phase one, something happens, there's a response to it, the alarm reaction. Phase two, state of resistance, you resist it. If the stressor continues unabated, then there becomes a stage of exhaustion. If the stressor is severe enough and long enough, it can even result in death. And, you know, that's something we really want to avoid. You know, I really like being alive. You may say aging is not the best, but look, don't complain about aging. If you're not aging, what are you? Dead. So don't complain about getting older. Be glad you're alive to get older, okay? Remember that. Count your blessings. Count your blessings instead of sheep. So some of these things can be stressors or not be stressors, depending upon your organizational abilities or lack of organizational abilities. If you have trouble planning a vacation, get a travel agent. If you're not very well organized, you know, you have to help someone plan a wedding, get a wedding coordinator, and so on like that. Recognize your limitations and work with them. So exercise is wonderful. It's eustress if you're exercising regularly. But if you haven't been, it can be distress. So we recognize that. Bad stress, distress, the reaction is prolonged. This is what I think is a beautiful picture of what I would describe. Person says, I have a splitting what? Headache. And, you know, most splitting headaches are caused by tension. And they're, you know, so they're what we call tension headaches. 80% of headaches are related to tension and stress. And there again, you can handle more stress on certain days than others. And the reason they get these headaches is because what happens with a tension headache is the muscles which surround your, you know, your skull, they get really tight, and there's nerves that go through them. When they get really tight, they put pressure on the nerves, and that's what produces the pain. The other thing some of you have realized about headaches, and this is can be good or bad, but it's just a fact of life. Some of you have realized that headaches are a socially acceptable way to excuse yourself from something that you don't want to do. And I tend to find true that many patients who have problems with headaches, I ask them the following question. When you were younger or sometime in your life, did you ever know of someone who had problems with headaches? And probably more than half the time, you know, 50% or more, maybe even 60 or even higher, the answer is affirmative or yes. And so, you know, have you ever gotten a phone call like this? You've invited someone for dinner or for something else. You're going to meet someone for an appointment, carry out something, and the individual calls you up and says, "I'm really sorry, I'm not able to come because I've got a terrible headache." Now, this is not a migraine headache I'm talking about, but you know, something else. And you say, "Well, I'm really so sorry. You're feeling so bad. That's fine, we'll get along without you." Socially acceptable way to remove yourself from something that maybe you want to avoid. Ever thought about that? Think about that. Not always, but that can happen. So, now the other thing is, something has to happen. There's got to be a response before there's stress. Now, can you change the stressor, whatever it is that's happening? Can you change the stressor? Maybe it's noise, maybe it's temperature, whatever. Sometimes you have control over these. You have air conditioning, you have heaters when it's cold. But what if your stressor is a member of your household or your family? Your significant other, your spouse. Well, I'm not encouraging you to change spouses or significant others. But if you recognize that you're having stress from this, then probably the easiest thing for you to do, and it may not be easy, the easiest thing for you to do is change your response to whatever it is that's causing you the stress. Okay? Like I told you, you can't change your spouse. Stop wasting your time trying to change your spouse. I didn't say you or your spouse didn't need to be changed, but stop trying to change them. Change your response to whatever it is that's happening that is getting you upset. Okay? Sometimes you can, but most of the time, to change your response to whatever it is that's causing you to get upset is going to require divine help. And admit it and recognize it. Remember James 4:2. You have not because you ask not. And say, dear God, help me to change my response to whatever it is you need to be changed. And also, if you tend to be irritable, short-tempered, and kind of a grump and a grouch, don't pray, dear Lord, I am so grumpy, grouchy, short-tempered. Well, I mean, that's true. But pray about what you want to become rather than the problem that you have. Say, dear Lord, help me to become more patient, more gentle, more understanding. Say, don't say, Lord, I am so impatient, I'm so grumpy and grouchy and unlovable. I mean, that's true, but don't pray. In other words, don't pray about the problem. Pray about what you want to become through God's grace and his transforming power. Pray positively. That's why we say, you know, when we want people to stop smoking, you know, I choose to be smoke-free. You know, in the old days, we say, I choose not to smoke. Nothing wrong with that. But think positively. So change the stressors that you can and the ones that you can't change. Ask God for the power to change your response to what's happening, okay? And sometimes, I admit, it's sometimes hard to determine whether or not you have, any control over the stressor. And probably a good rule of thumb, and I think Wes would agree with this, if we're not sure whether we have control over the stressor, in most cases we probably don't. So, I mean, just admit it, we don't have control over it. So then the next best thing I can do is say, Lord, change my response to what it is. And sometimes this may, you know, the situation you'll have to deal with, you may have to get earplugs, you know, whatever. But do what you need to do. But whatever you do, do it with love, gentleness, patience, and understanding. Don't ever be rude or unkind or obnoxious to anyone just because they're stressing you. That is not grounds to do that. I mean, Jesus withstood all kinds of abuse. And you read about what he went through in the Garden of Gethsemane. You read about what happened when he was crucified, all the abuse that he took, and he never retorted in any manner unkindly or he lost his temper in any way. But you say, I don't have that power. But if you recognize you need it, remember, God can give you the grace you need for when you need it if you will come to him every day. He won't give you what you need for next week now, but when you get to next week, if you've been talking with him every day between now and then, and as many times during the day as you need to, when that situation arises where you will need more help, he will be there to give it to you. You live one day at a time. This is really important. Don't try to, you know, think about all the other things, you know, worry about things that will never happen. Some people spend so much time worrying about things which never happen. I have some friends who are business people. And they're very, very particular and they're very, very careful. And I've had people who I work with and they say, you're so optimistic, you're not realistic. I said, well, I'd rather be a realistic optimist than a realistic pessimist. Remember that. So does your stomach get tied up in knots? Do your hands perspire? Heart rate increases? These can all happen with stress. Stress-related diseases, these conditions can be aggravated by stress. They can even be caused by stress. Heart disease can be certainly be made worse by stress. Ulcers, hypertension, headaches, backaches, decreased resistance to infection, depression, insomnia, chronic fatigue, burnout, and irritable bowel syndrome. Be careful what you think, because what you think can affect your life and health. Be selective in what you allow yourself to think about. You cannot control all the thoughts that come into your mind. That's true. But out of the ones that come into your mind, you are the one that decides which ones you want to dwell upon. So that's important. Okay? And you can also ask for the Lord to block some things out of your mind if you want to, if you need to. If you need help in certain areas, say, Lord, block these away. Keep these away from me. But then don't keep looking at things or doing things which are going to bring some of these things back. If you want, you want to have certain things blocked out, then, if it's certain music or literature or pornography or something you're having struggling with, then you need to get rid of all the things that are going to lead you back down that road. Get rid of those things. Get them out of your house. Get them out of your life. Mental effects with stress. Most of you remember sometime in your life, usually as a child, where you had to memorize something or say something, you got up in front and your mind goes blank. Well, that happens even not only to children, but it happens to adults. That's what's nice about PowerPoint, and that's why I can have my computer here and I can see what's happening, so I know what's next. Now, don't ever think you are worthless. Remember, you individually, personally, are worth the life of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He died so that you could be free to choose to accept his gift of eternal life. You are worth the life of the Son of God. You may be weak, but you're not worthless. Okay? But again, even being weak, together with Christ, he will give you the strength to overcome and to be victorious. Okay? That's important to recognize. Don't procrastinate and put things off. And be sure to take time to communicate. And again, the most important part of communication is listening. Avoid unhealthy temptations during times of stress. When the going gets tough, the tough go shopping. Well, if you do go shopping, make sure you pay off your credit cards every month. Don't build up credit card debt, because that'll be a stressor. Credit cards are great, providing you pay them off every month. I like to use credit cards, but I don't want credit cards to use me. I charge everything I can, but I pay it off every month. Never carry any credit card debt, okay? Avoid caffeine, exercise, choose a healthy lifestyle. Learn to adapt and be flexible. There's certain things you can be flexible on, but there are certain principles you need to stand up and be counted for. If it's one of God's divine principles, you need to stand up and be counted. But if it's something else, like, the color of the furniture, the carpet, the drapes, that's not such a big thing. But learn to be flexible in certain things and stand for divine principles. The divine principles are embodied for us in what we call the Ten Commandments. So we look at those. Those are divine principles. We need to stand up and be counted for those. But other things, it doesn't make that much difference what color something is. Plan, organize, be positive, take time for God every day, live one day at a time, and have an attitude of gratitude and praise. If someone does something for you that's nice, thank them for it. Write them a little note. Why not? Have you ever gotten a note like that from someone, something you did, to thank them? I do a lot of traveling, which means I go through lots of airport security. And I'm glad for certain things now that I don't have to do because of certain things that have happened. And so I get something called pre-check, which is awesome because then I don't have to empty my pockets and take off my belt. But even when I did have to do all that, when I would get all finished with that, probably more than half the time I would thank the people at TSA. Thank you for helping make my travel safe. Why not? That's their job, and I am glad that the plane got me there and got me back. If it didn't get me back, I wouldn't be here talking to you. And if you are eligible for pre-check or global entry, get it, because when I have that, you don't have to take off your shoes and empty your pockets. And I tell them, and I'm really serious about it, you brought the fun back into my travel. And also be careful with the words that you use around the TSA points. You blow up balloons, but if you're around the TSA, you inflate balloons. You don't blow up balloons. You don't ever want to use the words blow up around security at the airport. Inflate things, but don't blow them up. And also, Ministry of Healing. Nothing tends more to promote health of body and of soul than does the spirit of gratitude and praise. Be thankful for what God has done for you. Be thankful that God has protected you all the days of your life till right now. Why not? Thank him for that. And say, Lord, is there anything I can do for you to show you my appreciation of what you've done for me? And that's where you have good news to share with others. What a wonderful Lord you serve and worship. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. The better you know him, the more you will trust him. He will never, ever let you down. He will not leave you. You may leave him, or you might do some things where he can't go with you. That's possible too. So be careful what you do, okay? So whatever is true, honest, just, and pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things. Think on the positive. Think on the negative. It is true that people have hurt you. People have taken advantage of you. People may have even abused you. And that's not right. But don't keep going back and dwelling on these things. Because if you keep doing that, you become a victim. And you are not a victim. You are a child of the King. So be positive. Don't be materialistic. Don't insist on having your own way. I know that's sometimes hard for guys. I've got a very understanding wife. I'm not always right. And if I'm not right and she's right, she doesn't sit there and remind me of that. She's very good. I've got a wonderful wife. Now, prayer is a divine stress reliever. So be sure to take time for prayer as many times during the day as you need. And turn your problems over to God. Not only turn them over, but let go of them. Sometimes you say, dear Lord, take my problem, but you won't let go. What's wrong? Don't you trust him? He knows what's best, and he's big enough to carry it, so let go of it. And if you need guidance, talk to God. Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right, when you turn to the left. Every single one of you in this room, even those of you who are retired, have a sphere of influence. And God has a plan for the rest of your life. He knows how long you're going to live. You don't know. But what are you going to do with the rest of your life? Can you use it positively? To bring more souls to this church? To bring more souls to the Lord? Why not? Well, I'm too old. I don't know how. You can learn. If you're wanting to learn, you can learn. Remember, the good Lord says, and he's told us this in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You can also look at a book, Christ Object Lessons. I think it's page 330. And God never tells us to do something without giving us the power to do it. So if God wants you to live or do a certain thing, he will give you the power to do it. If he wants you to be a loving, lovable witness, he will teach you how to do it. Your pastor will be happy to hold some classes for you and teach you those things. Dr. Youngberg would be happy to teach you some classes about health so that you can share health with your friends and neighbors and others. So the resources are available. You need to make the choice to use them. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Waiting upon the Lord is taking some quiet time with God every day. I also think of this verse when I used to run. I run marathons. You know, a marathon's kind of a long ways. It's 26.22 miles. And after you've run 10 or 15 miles, sometimes you get tired. And so if you wait on the Lord, he will give you the strength to get through. So remember that. What if somebody gets you all upset? Is it better to vent your anger, to really tell them off, or to button your lip and keep it inside? I had a colleague, a physician friend, and we were talking about something that we didn't see eye to eye with. And as we were talking, each time one of us spoke, our voices were getting louder and louder. It was kind of escalating like this. And I could see that this was not going to end positively if I kept doing that. So after one of us finished, and I don't remember who it was, I just reached over and I hung up the phone. I didn't slam it down. I just quietly, you know, no more could we talk. So I saw my friend the next couple days later, and I said, "Hey, Sam, you know, I'm really sorry I hung up the phone on you the other day, but I said, you know, what we were talking about, we weren't going to get anything solved." And I said, "Please forgive me." And he says, "Yeah." He says, "I'm hot-tempered." Right. So it was much better to have done it that way. You know, the Bible says a soft answer turneth away what? Wrath. So it's better not to say anything than to, but, you know, I keep all that in. It's going to raise my blood pressure. It's going to produce more acid. I'm going to get heartburn and, you know, acid indigestion. Keep it inside. It's much simpler. May not be simpler, but it's better. God can change my stress to rest. Don't try to get even. The good book tells us that vengeance is the Lord's. Let him take care of it. But it wasn't fair. It wasn't right. Never mind. God will take care of it. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. One day at a time. Matthew 6:34. And the other thing is, from the Christian perspective, you know, we have trials and temptations. You know, that's biblical. And you can also find that in what we term the spirit of prophecy. But, you know, like I said, I'm an optimist. I don't think of them as trials and temptations. I think of them as challenges and opportunities. Challenges and opportunities. You know, so I don't know what the answer is, but this is, Lord, if you've allowed this to come my way, you must have an answer. I'm going to have to call upon you for the help. Challenges and opportunities for God to reveal this plan for you and whatever that situation is. Be positive. And maybe the Lord wants to teach us something. How are you going to grow? How are you going to develop character unless you have some challenges and opportunities? See? That's the resistance you have to work against. That will give you strength. And the Lord allows to come to you what he knows that you can bear with his help. He won't let you be overwhelmed. So again, God first, health and family, then work in others. You can't do everything. Learn to say no. That's important. I had a very successful businessman. He was overwhelmed, and he was all stressed out because he had more work than he could possibly do. So I told him this, learn to say no. You can't do all the work that the people want you to do. I mean, you do it better than anybody else, that's true, but you can only do so much work with your staff. Learn to say no. I saw him 6 months later, and he says, "I did what you said. I feel much better now. I'm not all stressed out. I even have time to play golf occasionally." You can't do it all. You don't have to do it all. God doesn't expect you to do it all. But don't be lazy and a slacker either. Do your fair share. Do your job as well as you can. It doesn't necessarily have to be perfect, but that's no reason to not strive for excellence. Do the best that you can with God at your side. Don't bring work home from the office. Avoid time wasters. Used to be television, now I guess it's the internet, Twitter, Facebook. You can waste your time on all kinds of things. You don't have to know the latest in sports or what's happening. The most important thing you need to know is take time to read, study the Word of God every day. Take time for God every day. Regular time for exercise, regular time for sleep. Make sure you get your sleep. Here's a good one. Sleep is worth far more before midnight than after midnight. 2 hours good sleep before 12 o'clock is worth more than 4 hours after 12 o'clock. So learn to say no. We've talked about that. So be happy at home. Be flexible. And again, some things just aren't worth getting upset about. I get all bent out of shape about it if it's not worth it. And if something is really getting to you, it may be helpful to go out and go for a little walk. Or if you're in a meeting, and there's lots of discussion and maybe some disagreement, it may be better for you to go out and I don't know if you have any wood for you to split or chop, but you may want to go out and hit something, split some wood, do something like that. Be forgiving and admit if you made a mistake, especially to your spouse. And if you do need to ask for forgiveness, please ask for forgiveness. So if you can do something about it, do it. What you can't do anything about, you've got to ask God to change your response to what it is that happens. Okay, so here in review, some things you can control, there's more that you can't. What you can control, you control and change. What you can't, you've got to change your response to what it is that's causing you the stress. And so, do Christians have stress, yes or no? Yes. Absolutely, unequivocally. Now, do we have an advantage? Absolutely. Now, here's the advantage you have. The unconditional love of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. A Father who knows what is best and will do that for us, okay? A brother who will walk with us throughout our life. And our brother gave his life so that we may live. We have been redeemed. Okay? And the Comforter who will guide and lead us in the paths of righteousness and impart to us the grace and power to live as we would desire. So God's made everything possible for us, not only for now, but for eternity. Okay? So be confident of this. He, God, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So I like to think, because we've had this opportunity to be together just for a few hours, God will start a good work in you. And if you will continue to come to him day by day and moment by moment, he will continue to transform and change your life, your outlook, your character, and that if we should ever have the privilege of coming back here and spending more time with you, your church would be bursting. I'm amazed that so many people are here now. That's awesome. But you know what? You can have twice as many people here. Your pastor can have maybe two or three services on Sabbath because you can't get them all in one service. And that would be awesome. And I don't think he would mind it. He might have to work a little bit hard, but I think he would be happy for that. And then, who knows, maybe you'll have to build a new church. So, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. True joy, true happiness comes from a relationship with someone who is worthy of worship. And the only ones who are worthy of worship, as I told you at the beginning, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's my hope and prayer for all of you that you will want to live healthfully, that you will apply the principles that we've talked about. You will choose what you want to do with them. Don't go home and say, oh, that was very interesting. If I need help, I'll call Dr. Youngberg. That's fine. He'll be happy to talk to you. But make a choice about what you want to do. And after you make that choice, enlist God's help through his Spirit for grace and power to live out that choice. And as you become more healthy, I'm confident your love and your admiration for the Lord will grow. You'll have a closer walking relationship with him. And as you read and study God's word and what we call the spirit of prophecy, for those of you who are familiar with that term, you'll have a closer walk with Jesus. So thank you for the privilege of being here. If you want to have the ultrasound, I'll be happy to do that. One other thing my wife wanted me to remind you, We will most likely do a four-day New Start program in Singapore in December. And if any of you want to join us for that, please talk to her and she can add your name and give you information about that. So God bless you. And if you need the ultrasound, I'll be happy to do that. And let me see. I'll take two questions. Two questions. Any questions? Two questions.
What is the benefit of alkaline water?
Oh, that's an easy one to answer. But I'm, mind you, I may be biased. Now, alkaline water, if you eat a plant-based diet, you're going to alkalinize your diet. And, you know, people have asked me that, and I hope I'm not going to step on anyone's toes, but, you know, alkaline water's primary benefit is to the person who's selling you the machine. Okay? You can do very nicely without it. You don't need distilled water. The drink that I advocate is what I call Pepsi Cola. That's tap water, straight out of the pipe. I mean, you know, acidic diet, if you eat meat, you're going to have an acidic diet. If you eat a vegetable or plant-based diet, it's going to be alkaline. So, because in other words, I mean, some of these things may be helpful, but the truth of the matter is that if we had to have all these gadgets that people promote as helpful, the only people who are going to be healthy are people who have lots of money can afford to buy these things. But most of the people in the world can't. So I try to keep it simple. So whole plant foods eaten whole. Healthy whole plant foods eaten whole.
Any questions on this side before we go back to the other side? Guess we're ready for some ultrasounds.
Okay, ultrasounds.
And before we leave, we want to thank Dr. Ng for sharing this evening. Yes. And incredible message. Thank you. Thank you for coming so far. And